What is up, beautiful people, and welcome back to a new episode of the Connect podcast. This is the platform that explores stories of purposeful life lived across and in between cultures and celebrating our common existence and humanity. I am your host, Ghali, and every single week I'll come on here to speak to you guys about some life things or sit down with a guest to speak about things like identity, culture, lifestyle, and purpose. So, it is season 3 of the Connect podcast. I don't know why I'm feeling somewhere in between excitement and nerves and just, I don't know, it feels really weird to be talking into a microphone again, but the many messages that I've gotten about where is the Connect, when are you going to be putting out new episodes, it's just been very heartwarming that people care that much, because I really just started this as, well, I'll get into that in a second. I hope you're all doing well. And there's so much to catch up on. And I think that we're actually going to do that throughout this season in different ways. But I wanted to share this quote with you all, which will really start off this episode. As you've seen, the episode is called Showing Up. We're going to get into the importance of commitment and showing up for ourselves and other people. And so in 2018, the graduating class of Harvard, their commencement speaker was a student by the name of Pete Davis. And this speech is a very big deal because it also later got him a book deal, I think, and stuff like that. It's called A Counterculture of Commitment. And I actually really like this quote. I came across it earlier in the year. It goes like this. I love that the word dedicate has two meanings. First, it means to make something holy. Second, it means to stick at something for a long time. I don't think this is a coincidence. We do something holy when we choose to commit to something. And in the most dedicated people I have met here, I have witnessed how that pursuit of holiness comes with a side effect of immense joy. Ooh, that's a really big one. I've always known that I learn better by doing, or rather through people, than I do reading a book. As some of you may have figured out from earlier seasons, or if you know me in my personal life, you know that I'm from a science and health background, but I am not the person who's analytically minded. I'm the person who cares about like the stories behind the numbers, the people behind the numbers. It's a whole thing. It always got me into trouble throughout my studies. But I've been very blessed and very lucky to have lived a life that has been filled with people from everywhere, doing all sorts of interesting things and living their lives in a way that fits with their purpose, ever evolving, ever changing, yet still centered in something. And they do it so beautifully. It's very well balanced. And so I've always been intrigued by the stories of people and why they do what they do. So when I first thought of starting a podcast in, I think it was about 2019, I wanted to cover topics and have conversations that everyone would be able to connect to and learn from through the experiences and life learnings of people just like them. We live in a world that just seems like it's getting more and more polarized, right? Like it's us and them, it's me and you, but it's never a we and us. And it's very easy for us to believe that because we're different cultures, different ethnicities, different religions, that we have nothing in common. However, a lot of the things that make us human are pretty much the same. Our journeys may look different, but the essence of life itself, the emotions we feel, the connections that we have to our loved ones, our friendships, our communities, the fragile nature of our minds, our health, the way our body functions. There are so many more things that we have in common than we don't. So I started recording a podcast and inviting people on to share their stories. And it has been so beautiful
to receive feedback and comments about how the Connect makes people feel, how it has taught them something new or given them some new perspective or helped them in some way. And that's really why I had started this, using my own curiosities to create a space where we can all learn together and we can all sort of celebrate each other through perspectives that we can relate to. And it went well for 2 seasons. And then we took a break. By we, I mean me, myself, and I. And if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that unless we assert our boundaries, nobody will really respect them. People will still try to push them, especially the people that employ us, if you are in employment or even if you have clients. Clients can be woo. But anyways, people always speak of prioritizing yourself, right? It's the metaphor of like, put your oxygen mask on before you help the person next to you. But I think that it's much easier said than done. And last year was sort of a reminder of that. I think we have years that sort of shake us up and like get us a bit more realigned or like wake us up or give us some sort of an enlightenment, maybe. I don't know what happened last year, but it was just so busy. And it's very easy to look at other people and think that their lives look very balanced and they're able to juggle different things pretty gracefully and we're the only ones struggling, you know? But it's, I think it's really important to remember, and this is a universal truth for absolutely everybody, that for every graceful moment that people have in public or that they choose to share, they have 3-4 that they're struggling with in the background. And so even in the midst of this podcast and the people that I invite on here, I think that it's very important for us to remember that each one of us have lives that are very dynamic and we're doing a lot of different things, and that you're not the only one who is struggling or who is suffering. So don't ever think that you're alone in it. And if you do need help, do reach out to the people around you, even if you're not the type to ask for help, because none of us survive this life thing without people around us. And for me, 2021 was unexpected because of how busy I was. Thank God I didn't burn out, but I could have. And I think that it's because I sort of recognized the signs. Been there before, ain't doing it again. But it was basically one of those moments where I had to get pretty real with myself about a couple of things. There's this author called Rachel Miller, and there's a quote of hers that goes like this: "To me, showing up is about bearing witness to what is happening and then responding accordingly. I think you have to do that for yourself. And then you have to do that for other people. So in my mind, once you learn to do it for yourself, it becomes so much easier to do it for other people. And amen for that." If you listened to the episodes last season, you will know that there was an episode on burning out, and I'll leave that in the description of this episode, wherever you're listening from. As aware as I am of the signs that could lead to it and what to look out for, I'm guilty of letting my routines go and overextending myself in every aspect of my life. And this isn't a new thing. It's a continuous struggle for me. I love to be there for other people, but sometimes it's to my own detriment. And late last year, early this year, I went through a period where I had to ask myself why it was that I was letting my dreams and plans take a back seat time and time again, and how I could get back to doing the things that I enjoy, the things that I care about, the things that I spent so many nights planning and agonizing over. And what I've come to is that it's about committing. It's about showing up every single day, and it's about being present. And we can't do that if we're overextending ourselves and being pulled in different directions. Now, of course, I say that with the disclaimer that for some of us, circumstances do not allow for us to not be pulled in different directions. Whether it is family, whether it is kids, you know, financial responsibilities, not everyone can just quit jobs. Not everyone can just like leave a relationship. I know that we make things seem like it's so clear cut, but everything is on an individual basis. But what remains true is overextending ourselves leaves us no room to be present. And if we're not present, it's very difficult for us to show up. And that's just the truth of it. And what I've realized is that there is a turning point when we're able to do these three things. And there is an immense positivity and peace when we do show up and we do commit to what really matters to us. We're no longer racing against the clock. We're no longer feeling FOMO. You're not wondering what else is out there because you have community and support. You have that fulfilling feeling, that alignment right at the center of you, and you feel that purpose. But here's the thing. How do we actually do these things? I know that people talk about it, right? But how do we get there? There's this quote that I jotted down. It says, "When I let go of trying to be everything to everyone, I had much more time, attention, love, and connection for the important people in my life." I think that that was Brené Brown. I think that that for me was my turning point. I felt that I wasn't being there for people the way that I wanted to, and I wasn't being there for myself because I was everything to everybody else that weren't my number one priorities. In every single area of our lives, consistent positive actions is what keeps everything afloat. Think about it, whether it's your health and well-being, or your relationships, or your career, you need to ensure that you are committed every single day in order for things to move forward. I have a friend, and he always says that for things to have momentum and to be going really good for you, like everything heading in the greatest of directions, and for you to think that you can just check out and not participate and not commit and not show up and then come back and things will just be as good or even better than they were before is an incredibly arrogant thing. And I would even go as far as saying it's a very, if you think like that, you lack a level of self-awareness. I've heard him say this so many times, and last year I internalized it quite a lot. I don't know if I've actually said this out loud to him, but I internalized it and thought about this podcast and why I haven't been consistent, even with my writing. And it's because I let myself be everything for everyone, right? And I got in the way of my own needs and my own wants. And now that I've managed to get back on track, I feel like I'm the colleague, friend, sister, daughter that people deserve because I'm operating from a place of peace rather than a place of anxiety. And I'm keeping my word. And keeping your word is the very foundation of committing to anything. So I wanted to share with you guys how I've been able to be more consistent when it comes to showing up and committing and how we can actually do that instead of just like it being like a cute thing that we hear quotes about, right? I first started with an audit. Where do I spend my time and energy? Time is the one commodity we don't get back. So where does it go and do I expend it in a way that makes sense to me or that feels good? So over a period of time, I kept tabs on how I felt, what made me feel good, what drained me, what made me feel anxious, when did I feel confident, you know, what things were working for me, what weren't, was I sleeping well, all of those things, I jotted them down, sometimes in my phone, sometimes like in a notebook. And then I looked at where all of my time was going. Since I felt so overwhelmed and I almost felt like I had no say in like my own time and my own schedule, that I was just, it's as if someone was puppeteering me and I couldn't just be like, just stop it. you know, sort of like the Truman Show, just a lot more tiring, I guess. And so once I had all of this information, once this audit was done, it showed me where I was placing my value. And to be honest, it wasn't actually what I valued, where all of my energy and time was going. So I went back to the drawing board to get realigned. And I reflected on four main questions. What do I want? What do I need? How can I ask others for help and support? And what areas do I want to improve in? This exercise was a reminder of what I value and where I want to go, direction. So from here, I've been able to sort of reorganize my life and work in a way that speaks to me. Kind of like a Marie Kondo, does this spark joy system? Is this something that will allow me to show up as my best self system? Does this give me peace? You know, I have a friend who used to play sports quite competitively way into adulthood and through college. And what she learned from sports is whenever they're training is on improving on one thing every day. Like, you know, Monday, I'm focusing on this, the next day, whatever. So she actually takes this and does it in her life. I didn't know this until we were having conversations about this exact topic of this episode. I get why she does this, and it started making sense to me. So I tried it out, and it actually worked for me in terms of personal growth, like learning new things, taking courses, whatever. And there are often 1,000 things that we want to get done in a day, in a week, whatever. And it can get overwhelming sometimes. So I guess my friend is treating her life kind of like how she treats her body when she's at the gym. You focus on a muscle a day, you know, like, or an area of your body every single day. Clearly, I don't spend a lot of time in the gym because I can't even articulate these things, but you get the drift, right? Focus on the little things every single day, you know? And so for me, it's been that there's at least like 3 days out of the week that I'm focusing on my writing. There's definitely one day that I'm focusing on like podcasts and like learning stuff, but also planning and researching and stuff like this. When it comes to like personal life, there has to be a few times a week where I actually see the people that I care about or make plans to do something where I'm being present and like cognizant of what I've committed to and promised and showing up, you know? So once you have all of these things, like how you're feeling, where your time is going, what you need support with, what you want to improve, you have the data. So now you create a plan. And I treat this plan kind of like a contract, right? I have these things to achieve every single day. There are just boundaries that are put up. If I can't do something, it's a no. It doesn't mean that it's a no forever. It's a no for right now. We'll see how I feel about it next week. But it creates an accountability to myself that I've said that I need to do X, Y, and Z. Am I doing it? Or am I canceling plans and flaking? Or am I not recording for the podcast for over a year, you know, that I've committed to and people are showing up for me? Am I showing up for the people that listen to this podcast? Am I taking time to spend one-on-one time with the people in my family, with my friends, you know? So then we create a plan. And I think that the better we can understand our circumstances and why it is that we fall short, and actually figuring out what's going on in the background and why it is that we're not meeting, you know, the goals that we set for ourselves, or why we're allowing ourselves to get into spirals of doom and stress, the more that we can understand the reasons behind these things, the better we can be at mitigating them and recognizing them. By having this contract with ourselves, this plan, we now have a word that we have to keep for ourselves. Then from there, what I did was also to understand how I choose to show up. Now, I know that I love creating. This podcast makes me feel really good. I also really enjoy giving people my time. you know, and being of service and being of help to the people that I care about. And this kind of sounds like love languages, right? Some people love curating moments and experiences. Others love creating communities. Others love to build things. I think it's also really important for us to understand how we like showing up for people and how we like showing up for ourselves. So just like we need to understand our love languages, I think this is just a bit of an extension of that. I know people in my life who aren't the first people that I pick up the phone and like I'm crying on the phone to. Not that I cry a lot, but like you get the drift. And they're not that big on, you know, they're not the listening to all of my problems type friends. But they're the first ones that will help me execute the craziest of ideas, you know? And so sometimes it isn't that people don't care about us or that we don't care about people, but that we can't expect every single person in our lives to hold every single type of role. We're all different and we all show up in different ways for ourselves and for other people. So I think that that's also really important to remember when we are creating that plan and that contract with ourselves about how we commit and show up for ourselves and other people. And the last thing is being present, you know, the living in the moment, taking small steps. Being present is something that I've struggled with my entire life. And honestly, I wasn't fully aware that it was being present that I struggled with until like more recent years, because I had always been able to notice the patterns, behaviors about other people, but not the ones that were going on with myself. So I'm less able to be present in a moment alone with myself than with other people, especially when it comes to like the more difficult things in life. I think that the more that we're able to be present and notice things about ourselves and the people around us, it opens up to us having a greater depth in our understanding of ourselves, but also creates a stronger and more intimate connection with the people around us. And this is essentially allowing people to feel seen and feel heard. And that is so powerful, but it can only happen when we're present enough and when we're listening. And so ultimately, all of the showing up and committing has to have presence running all the way through it. These three things cannot exist without one another. They're very dependent on one another. And that is where I am today, you know, and that's actually why this podcast could be back, because I realized that I wasn't focusing on the things that I valued the most. I wasn't showing up every day and giving myself and the people around me my all. And although I was using all of my energy, I felt very drained then. Now I'm using all of my energy and time, but I'm in such a great space. And I think that that goes to show how when we invest our time and energy and heart into things that are good for us, we just get so much more in return. And when we invest it in things that aren't good for us, it leaves us drained and miserable. And I would really encourage us all to take this into every single aspect of our lives, because as much as everything seems so fickle, you know, we swipe and we slide and we're just doing the most and we cannot commit and we're chasing things that, if we actually sit back down and we're like, do these things make me happy? They really don't. But I promise you this. Committing to showing up for yourself and for the people around you and for the things that matter to you are going to change your life. Cutting out all of the static and all of the noise and all of the overthinking about things that truly and honestly wouldn't even matter next week is not worth it. And I want to carry that into not only my life, but also the work that I do, because it's very easy to get in our own heads and to get in our own ways. And we're not doing that anymore because, like Mel Robbins said, when it comes to your dreams, you have two choices: pursue them or be haunted by them. And honey, I am not going to be haunted about ideas that I've sort of let go because my anxiety is set up that way. We're not doing that anymore. 2022 onwards, I owe you guys this, and I thank you for staying around and listening. And if you're new here, welcome to the Connect. And it's crazy to say, but I will be back here next Wednesday. Wherever you're listening to this, please like, subscribe, leave a review, put in the stars. You know the deal. And I hope that wherever this finds you, that you and yours are doing so well. We back, baby! Bye, guys.